British composer Leopold Stokowski once said, "A painter paints pictures on canvas, but musicians paint their pictures on silence." We love the images that this quote conjures up. We love how it tries to grasp at how different art forms construct images, ideas, and stories in our minds.
We believe that the power of collaboration can emphasize this effect, and so decided to conduct an experiment.
We brought together postgraduate creative writing students from the University of Lincoln for this research project.
11 writers, 3 months, one project. Could we collaboratively write a literary podcast in the epistolary form? Could we use a writer's room dynamic to create a series, one letter at a time? We ask you to decide.
Follow us as we discover our second letter, written by MA Creative Writing and Publishing alumna Ellie Wilson. I am Amy Lilwall.
And I am Sherezade Garcia Rangel. And this is On Silence.
Eleven Park Street, 06777, Simplinske Hamre, 27th of July, 1992. Kaya, I imagine it's been a while since you read a letter in your native tongue. I copied the address from one of Lucia's letters. I hope you don't mind. She's prone to leaving things out. I spent the first week she was here following her around the house, traipsing her shadow as she swept through each room in a storm of prying hands and childish ignorance. She's a curious one, isn't she? As soon as I return home, I'm ambushed with a barrage of broken questions. Where have you been, Tieta? What took you so long, Tieta? I suppose she's quite like you. Maybe if you weren't so like, you'd have made it home for Dad. When I first received word of a Lucia Hudakova from Father Yosef, I almost fainted. It wasn't until he explained that Lucia was your daughter that I was able to write myself. I had Father Yosef translate her letters for me. God bless that man's patience. We exchanged several letters after this, and when the time came, I was able to inform her of Dad's passing. I invited her to the house. She was in Austria at the time. Actually, I told her to invite all of you. Your daughter arrived alone. And when I asked of you, my time translating with Father Yosef allowed me to spit out your maternal title for her to understand. She simply shrugged. You always were stubborn. Always so sure that you knew best. Dad waited for you. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. He always was rather stubborn too, and God knows he was ready to leave us long before now. If he'd given up on you like he said he had all those years ago, he could have died in his sleep. It's not like he was waiting for anyone else. He was just about done with me. I suppose I don't quite hold the memory of Mum like you do. Or did. Who knows if Mum's dimple is still buried within your left cheek, excavated only in exchange for something you couldn't have. Or for Dad. In the days after Mum left us, it was you who we moved for. After you left us, there was no one who could replace either of you. Like an unfinished set of Russian dolls, I just didn't have enough of you, or her, in me for him to care anymore. Does that surprise you, Kaya? Can you imagine your doting dad with spite in his heart, full of disdain because the only one of us who remained could never compare to Mum? With no ghosts to haunt us, I became the silent spirit that kept our home alive. Ironic, don't you think? I hear Matthew is out trying to make a difference somewhere. Do you pride yourself on creating such righteous children? At least Lucia hasn't got a death wish. Your son could do with some time reflecting upon his actions. I sent Lucia to church last week. You may be surprised to hear. I suspect her meeting with Father Yosef was enlightening, particularly in such dark times for our family. Have you found a new church to pray for a sin? Does it sit on a hillside freckled by linden and pine? Do the people greet you with the hands that held you as a child, watched you as God did for your entire life? I I heard Hodila Dievchina for the first time in over 40 years the other day. Finally, I thought, the day of reckoning is upon us. The house is hollow now, so the melody ran through the rooms like water, flooding us until I could find the source. She was sitting in the yellow room. I hadn't been in there since Dad told us off, after Mum died and all of what remained of her was hidden in that room of never-ending sunshine. The record player still works, it appears. When she saw me at the door, the glee in her eyes vanished, but for a second, I thought I saw you again. Kaya, for all the grievance your absence has caused over the years, I am truly pained that you didn't return home to say goodbye to Dad. After every opportunity he granted you, every time he reassured you that nothing had ever been your fault, you couldn't find it within yourself to face him. Or me. Lucia tries to tell me about life in England. I say try. Between her translation book and the lessons you gave her as a child, she stumbles through her sentences like a drunk protesting his sobriety. She tries to tell me of the story of your arrival to that country. She claims that you had written too, hands enacting a scrawl over invisible paper as if that would make her stories any more believable. I thought you had renounced everything from this life. I'm not sure if she's making it all up for her own sake or if it's the truth. If it is, then this is your opportunity, Kaya. Come home. Your sister, always, Agata.
I got the chance to talk to Ellie about her letter and the process of writing it.
Okay, Ellie. First of all, what a pleasure to listen to your letter and to read your letter. So thank you very much for taking the time to write it.
No, no problem.
I suppose, so for me, this is a particularly interesting letter because I wrote the first letter.
No
way. Spoiler alert. So you were responding to my first letter, which is, you know, kind of cool.
Yeah.
I guess you found yourself in a position of responsibility because you were the first one of the group, first of our writers.
Yeah.
To sit down and kind of kick the story off, even though I'd given you my letter, you didn't know it was me. I can see lots of details that you've picked out of the first letter, but what struck you as most important to take forward into the rest of the story?
I think looking back at that original letter, I think the sense of family, like there's still such a sense of connection, even though from how we've spun the tale, a lot of the family is broken, and there's obviously the title, we played a lot on that with the On Silence theme, but for me, just that sense of longing and wanting to be connected, and it was just something that we really wanted to, as the first group, when we were talking about how these first few letters would go, it was definitely important for us to bring that theme of family forward and that sense of longing, because I suppose it's not so much an idea of found family, but more of a reconnecting of family that we really wanted to convey. And also maybe a sense of their culture as well. We wanted to make sure it felt obviously Lucia goes back there kind of obviously in the wake of her grandfather's death, but also to kind of discover who she is, because she spent years not knowing any immediate family aside from her mum and her brother. Yeah, a sense of who they really are coming through as well was important, I think.
Lovely. And that really segues quite nicely into my next question, actually, because I can see that you've thoroughly thought about character. You use we a lot when we describe the process, which speaks to the collaborative nature of this project, which I'll ask you about in just a minute. That's really interesting. But Agata, what do you think about this character? She seems kind of lonely, a little bit bitter.
Yeah.
She's asking lots of questions that aren't really questions. They're kind of, accusatory. So what did you think about this character? How did you get into her mind?
Well, as someone who is an older sister, I've had plenty of time and conversations with my own sister when we both had disagreements and stuff. So I could take it from that angle. But also, I was kind of thinking of it from a point where Agata probably hadn't really spoken to Kaya in perhaps years, especially as later down the line, we find out the disruptions between them. So I just took it from a kind of position where Agatha was probably, she's angry and she was upset that her sister hadn't reached out to her. But also it was just like a, there's always going to be that worry, I think, for a family. Mm. Like, you're always going to want to make sure that they're okay. So even though she sounds so angry and like she's, you know, really got this resentment built up, especially after the passing of their father, I think it's just the overall thing is just, please, can we sort this out?
Mm.
Like, it doesn't matter what's happened. You know, years of conflict can be forgotten because you're my sister and I just want you to be okay and to please come home.
Oh, so for you, do you think that was the kernel of the story? I mean, you talk a lot about the father's death, mm. which feels very central to the letter as an event that was, you know, quite heavy for mm. Agatha and something she's not going to forget. But from what you've just said, I suppose ultimately it's all about reuniting the family again.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, he definitely acts as a catalyst, I think, mm. for the whole story. Like, you know, we wouldn't have Lucia coming to Czechoslovakia if it wasn't for the fact mm. that he had passed. So, I think he's definitely, like, what gets the ball rolling for the series. I think it's all of the conflicts between these two sisters specifically
mm.
that, you know, allows it to snowball into what it becomes.
Mm.
Mm. Because even when you look at like Lucia and her brother, like they don't have a conflict. There isn't a conflict there, but
mm.
there's just like, you know, it's life, I suppose. It's mm. one of those things where these mm. people have all gone their separate ways and it's created this silence. And in some people, resentment, such as in Agatha and Kaya's situation.
Mm.
And that happens, but it doesn't mean it can't be resolved. And I suppose mm. that's what we all wanted to come back to.
Oh, lovely. Again, you're referring to the we.
Sorry.
Which is, no, it's so nice because, you know, it means that you've really embraced the collaborative nature of this project. So obviously you're all working together as a team in that first group and you had the responsibility of kicking the story off. But was there anything that you wanted to be taken from your letter further into the narrative? Were there any questions that you were hoping would be revisited?
I think I was just so excited to work in a group project. It was so exciting to work with people on something that was like going to be a lot bigger than us,
mm.
because obviously we were only the first group of three as well. So mm. we had no idea what trajectory it would take afterwards.
Mm.
So it was just really exciting to like have so many unknowns at play. Mm. I think from my letter, again, it was just the sisterly relationship that I was really interested in. I really wanted to see them resolve it. Also, like, it's kind of the beginning of like Lucia's journey into like her family history and stuff. So I just really wanted to see how like her time at Agatha's house would, you know, how that would evolve and like how it would change her. Mm. And yeah, I think everyone else, like all the writers have done such an amazing job of like taking the beginning of something and then turning it into something new each time. It's just mm. it's so cool.
Oh, wow. Lovely. Good. Okay. So more about that in just a minute. Mm-hmm. I think one thing that I can't continue this interview without mentioning mm-hmm. is the language that you use in this letter. I mean, it's just astonishing. So the first thing that I picked up was the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And I was like, ha ha, because I talked about an apple tree in my letter. So that was a really nice reference to that. But then there are other really beautiful expressions as well, like the unfinished set of Russian dolls, her dimple buried in your cheek. How lovely. And then the house is hollow now. The melody ran through the house like water. Do you think, here's a question for you. So do you think that this is Agatha's voice or do you think that this is your style?
I think I was very fortunate being one of the first letters that mm. I could allow my own style to influence it a little more.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly applaud the later writers for being able to continue any voice from mm. any of the earlier letters because it's such a difficult task, like taking someone's style and like trying to make it your own, but also trying to keep it within the character's mm. Mind, so to speak, I guess. So yeah, I think again, I was quite lucky that I was able to write so early on and it meant that I could kind of write it in her, like in my own style. But I think also that Agatha just felt like someone who would be slightly whimsical
mm-hmm.
in her writing. I mean, from my perspective, she seems quite lonely. But that doesn't mean she's like, you know, bored alone. I think she keeps herself very busy. I think she was very active in her community, but also like loved to read. She went to church. You know, she felt like she had a lot in her life. So she wasn't alone. So then when she came to writing her letters, I just think she could be, you know, as floral as she wanted to be. Or, you know, I think it was maybe her way of like gaining some sense of authority as well. You know, over Kaya, who, even though they had a very similar educational background up until the point where Kaya leaves, I think it was probably Agatha's way of just being a bit like, I am a superior to you, and this is how I will show it through this letter.
Well, she's the one who stayed, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's a real confidence to the way she writes, and I think it's because of that position. She's the anchor.
Kind of
holding everyone back to the family land and the family home. Okay, so you mentioned how, you know, you respect the other writers that came after you, that you've liked being part of this collaborative process. Did you come across, because I guess you wrote your letter and then you could just sit back and kind of, pretty much like me, actually. But obviously you've had a hand in the editing process, you've been overseeing the writing of all the other letters that followed. Did you encounter any difficulties or frustrations at all from your position on the Brain Trust?
I think being in the earliest group, again, it was one of those where we created these first few letters, and I think everyone all had like their own wishes for like how it would continue. But obviously we were also very aware that it was like, okay, time for us to step back. So whilst you could have like your own personal frustrations about maybe where things were going or weren't going, it wasn't anything that we would ever allow to get in the way of the other writers creating this story. And like, thank God that we didn't, because like, it's such a good story now. So otherwise, I think it was just, it was quite strange, because you could give input, but it was ultimately up to them what they wanted to leave in or, you know, put back in to later letters. It was just, really fun to see it happen, I guess.
Oh, that's lovely. Good. Well, we're glad that you enjoyed the process. How do you think that this is going to end? Or how would you like it to end?
Oh, gosh. I mean, it's hard to say, because I mean, the way the very last letter, like from the writers group, has gone so far, I think that was like such a good ending. So, and I'm now like wondering how they can top it off. It's a very high bar that's been set by our last writer. I think based on the wants and wishes of Agatha, as that's the only character I wrote from, I just hope everyone kind of reunites and we get this sense of connection and the silence breaks.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, well, I guess that poor person who has to write the letter, we'll see what they come up with. Okay. So I've got a couple of questions that I want to ask you. We're asking all of our contributors the same questions. So first of all, if you could write a letter to anyone, I mean anyone, dead or alive, real or imaginary, who would that be?
Oh my gosh. Panting.
That's okay.
Oh my gosh, there's a massive list of people in my head.
Wow. Okay.
But like, some are celebrities, there's family. It just depends on what mood you catch me in.
That's a good answer. Who would you write to today?
Today? Oh gosh. Who is I read? I'm reading someone at the moment and I really wanted to talk to them because... Oh my gosh, it's completely escaped my name. My name, Brain. But otherwise, Enid Blyton.
Really?
Yeah, because she was like one of the first like authors that I remember from my childhood. Read Folk of the Faraway Tree as a really little kid. So if I could just talk to her about that entire experience, that would be great, I think.
Oh, lovely. Okay. I mean, that's a very worthy letter recipient. So with that in mind, who would you most likely to receive a letter from?
Why don't I have anyone for this question? I suppose it's like, who do I want to reach out? Gosh.
Tricky, isn't it?
Yeah. Have there been good answers for this?
Reasonable, yes. Reasonable. I would say, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Who would I want to receive a letter from? Dead or alive?
As you want.
Okay. Oh, no, I do have an answer for this.
Okay.
So I have a friend who I'd like befriended years and years and years ago. They live like over in America now. And we were friends for a really good long portion of our lives. And then we just kind of, it's one of those friendships that just faded out of nowhere. And, you know, people grow up. But I always wonder how they're doing. And I'd love to know, like, you know, like a full detailed story. If they could send me a short novel of their entire life since, that would be great.
Wow. Wow. Well, maybe this has inspired you to reach out to them.
Maybe.
Who knows? Who knows? Ellie, thank you so much for your participation in this project. It's been a real pleasure.
No, oh, it's been lovely. I've had a great time. Thank
Wonderful.
You.
Thank you.
On Silence is a research project and a literary podcast written and produced in collaboration with postgraduate creative writing students at the University of Lincoln in the UK.
In episode 3, you will discover more about this intriguing story. You will have the chance to listen to our third letter and to learn more about the process of writing it in an interview with the writer. Follow us on X, previously Twitter, at U of L Writing, to keep up with our stories and to learn more about the podcast. This episode was produced by Sherazade and edited by me.
Our theme song is a Slovakian folk song performed by a Slovakian folk band with choir and recorded by FX Pro Sound. You also listened to the sound of a Slovak national instrument called fujara, played by František Krestenik and recorded by Androsek. These are licensed under the Creative Commons 4.0 International License, whose song and audio credits are available on the description of this episode.
Episode 3 will be coming out soon. We look forward to you hearing it.
Come with us as we talk to each writer and discover more about the process of writing this story together.
Listen and explore the power of storytelling and the things left unsaid. I am Amy Lilwall.
And I am Sherazade García Rangel, and this is On Silence.